Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
And today's cast, One-on-Ones Updated, Part 2 of 3.
The questions this cast answers are, how do I get to know my team? How do I get my team to do their jobs? What should I discuss in a one-on-one?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Leverage our client training options to lower your dollar cost per attendee if you have a group of more than 15 and up to 30. With a full house of 30 people, you can cut your cost in half from attending our public conference offerings. And client training also comes with some customization and annual licensing. Take advantage of our current price offerings today. They may not be available in the future. Contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn if we can help you and your organization.
Next on the agenda is weekly intervals. We talked about scheduled, and now our data show that weekly works best. Weekly is the most effective interval to achieve the purpose of encouraging effective communication between you and your directs, which leads to trust. In fact, one of my favorite business book titles, the book is not great, but the title is great, The Speed of Trust. The more trust you have with your directs, the more likely they are be able to assume what your intent is in a particular situation. We call that commander or leader's intent. We have a podcast called Leader's Intent about being clear about why we're doing things so people can make decisions on their own so you don't end up becoming the dreaded micromanager. And you've got to do it on a regular basis, because if you do it semi-annually, every once in a while we hear from somebody, oh, we do one-on-ones, they're once a quarter. And I just roll my eyes. It's like telling someone you're interested in having a romantic relationship with, hey, let's do this at a distance. Let's have a long distance relationship. It doesn't work. Human beings measure the quality of their relationships by the frequency and content of communication. We live our lives in weekly interviews, the vast majority of us. And so therefore, if it's going to be important to you, it's got to be something that's done weekly.
Now, that's not to mention the fact that the weekly cadence is a bit like a drum beat. Think about what you're doing this Thursday. You know pretty much what you're doing next Thursday as well, don't you? You've got a couple of meetings. Maybe it's your turn to pick up the kids, or there's something special or not happening.
Right.
Now, what's happening the week after that? Or in British English, what they would say is Thursday week. What's happening that Thursday? Well, we'll take a bet that you maybe know about your standing meetings, but don't know whether or not you have a customer call scheduled for that day or any other thing. And the week after, it just gets worse. But those standing meetings, the ones that happen every week, you can usually know. For us, it's ops on Friday. Someone's like, what are you doing Friday morning? Ops. That's what I'm doing. It happens every Friday at the same time. And it's like a drum beat. It keeps it top of mind.
Yep. And as I mentioned, most of us professionals, we tend to think in weekly interviews, unless you're at weekly intervals, unless you're the CEO and you think in quarters or years, or as one said at Procter & Gamble, my old stomping grounds, Procter & Gamble thinks in decades. Now, look, you could have one-on-ones every other week, what is known as biweekly, or as the British would say, fortnightly, but they won't be as effective. And we have data on that as well. A manager who does one-on-ones with all of his directs every week, if we compare them on average with a large data sample to a manager who does his or her one-on-ones every other week, the manager who does them every other week gets about 40% of the value. So there is some value in biweekly one-on-ones, but only 40%. So you've spent half as much time to get 40% of the value. So you can clearly see they're less efficient. And again, we guarantee you, you will get more time back in your calendar if you do them weekly. That guarantee does not extend to biweekly one-on-ones. When you start doing biweekly one-on-ones, people can't wait and they're in your office and they want to know this and they want to know that. And they're interrupting you when you're in other meetings with texts or team messages or what have you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it just gets worse.
Oh,
when you go to larger intervals, like monthly, for example, a monthly interval, the direct treats a bit like a project status meeting and an updates meeting. Sometimes I've heard managers say in our trainings, it feels kind of like a monthly performance review. Like I'm just here to justify my existence over the past month. And from the perspective of my manager, it kind of just seems like they're here to check a box. It doesn't turn into a relationship building interaction when it's only once per month. Not to mention the fact that in terms of length, the duration, I should say, which we're going to get to in next, a little bit deeper, 30 minutes. What kind of manager in direct can meet once a month for 30 minutes? I don't know any two people on the planet who could meet once a month, try and talk about work and build a relationship and do it in just 30 minutes. I really actually don't.
Can't be done. Yeah. And you could say, well, I'll extend it to an hour, but it just is a bad meeting that lasts longer, which is not a good idea. And by the way, we have data on monthly one-on-ones as well, because in the beginning we didn't know. And I was tired of going to presentations from former CEOs who told me how they were going to manage. And none of it seemed to apply to me because they're usually way smarter than me. And their guidance was very generic and general and not specific. And so we started gathering data to find out. So we could stand in front of groups and say, we have data that says this works better than all the other ways. And the data on monthly one-on-ones is probably the most damning data of any data set we ever gathered. The first three times we tested one-on-ones, we tested weekly and biweekly and monthly. We didn't know which one was best, and so we thought we'd try. Look, if we could come up with an agenda for a 30-minute monthly one-on-one that got the same kind of trust scores that led to the same sort of results and retention improvements that a weekly one-on-one would get you, we would recommend that in a minute. We all are busy. We're just as busy as you. We'd be happy to, but the data doesn't support that. Here's what the data says. The first three times we tested weekly, biweekly, and monthly, we also did it every time we ran large-scale tests. We had a control group. So there are four groups, weekly, biweekly, monthly, and a control group, which was forbidden from doing any one-on-ones at all. In all three cases that we tested monthly, the control group, which had an improvement of results from retention of essentially zero because they hadn't changed their managerial behaviors, the monthly one-on-one group scored below them. So if you assume that zero was the improvement results from retention, what happened was when managers did monthly one-on-ones, despite the idea that it might work and it's less time and I still get to check in with them every month, results and retention scores went down. After three data sets on over 1,000 managers in each of these tests in major corporations all over the world, we stopped testing it because we could no longer ethically ask a manager to engage in a behavior that we knew the data said would reduce his or her results or retention. So whatever you do, one-on-ones monthly are the devil and you must not do them.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
We are hosting a virtual public EMC starting on May 13th. What that means is anybody can sign up for a virtual effective manager training that starts on the 13th of May. Maybe you're looking for guidance on how to be a good manager. Great news. You can come to our four-session online event delivered over Zoom to learn about one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation from the comfort of your own office. Sign up and come see us at manager-tools.com/training.
So that takes us then to the structure. We recommend that you stick with the structure. Every one-on-one totals 30 minutes in this structure. The first 10 minutes is for your direct, then 10 minutes for you, the manager, then 10 minutes to discuss the future. Now, we always start with 10 minutes for the direct. Remember earlier when we said that the purpose of one-on-ones was to encourage effective relationships, and the measure of quality for the directs is whether the conversation is relevant to them.
Right.
And letting them go first is essentially how we demonstrate that principle to the direct. They get to go first. Always. Don't accidentally let yourself say, well, before we start, I'd just like to cover this one small thing. Don't do it. The direct will take away from that interaction that although you say they are important to you, you actually put that part of the project or whatever the task was that you wanted to talk about ahead of them. And that, my friends, is the very definition of lip service.
Yeah. And we actually, I mentioned before, we have data. The first time we tested one-on-ones, we tested managers going first. And we tested how long the manager talked, how long the direct talked, what directs felt about it, and so on. And it was a total disaster. Interestingly, though, And we told them 15 minutes for each. And we're going to talk about why we've changed that guidance to 10, 10, 10 here in just a minute. But we told the manager, you get 15 minutes and your direct gets 15 minutes. At the end, it was a horrible disaster. It didn't work. And the client didn't pay Horstman and Company, who was doing the work for them, because they weren't getting good results, obviously. And we went back and looked at the data. Managers took, on average, 28 minutes of the 30 minutes. And what was funny, many of these managers had said, I don't have a lot of stuff to talk to my people about. Whenever I talk to them, I talk to them, whatever. And then suddenly they talked for 28 minutes out of 30. So clearly there was some need for some additional communication beyond just the hallway chats and the texts and nowadays the emails and so on. Well, what does an intelligent direct say when he or she has been told, we're going to have a 30-minute meeting every week. I'm going to go first. I'm going to take 15. And then you're going to get 15 minutes to talk about the stuff you want to talk about. And then that manager takes 28 minutes. And the manager at the end says, oh my gosh, I took 28 minutes. I'm so sorry. Do you have anything? What does the intelligent direct say? No, of course not. Interestingly, when we switched it around, the next time we taught them, we let the direct go first. And again, at this point, it was still 50 minutes for the direct and then 50 minutes for the manager. The direct, on average, took 28 minutes.
Yeah.
The same length of time the manager did. Meaning, going first matters. If you're going to put your direct first, and your direct has a lot to talk about, think of it this way. If your direct has a lot to talk about, and they take 25 of your minutes, and you only have five, you still got a list of stuff to talk about, right? But what did we say happens when a manager goes down or pings one of his or her directs and says, hey, do you have a minute? The direct says, yes. You can always cover your agenda in any one-off discussion in a hallway, ping them later, ring them up on Zoom and chat with them for just a minute when you're both in a meeting that you together, and you just tell them to hang around and you ask them a series of questions. So you've got to let the direct go first.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And don't worry, you're still going to get time. Next, you get 10 minutes. And we'll come to what you're going to talk about shortly. But finally, you have 10 minutes at the end to talk about the future itself. Now, no, 90% of the time, you're going to each end up, your direct and then you, taking roughly 15 minutes, or one of you is going to take 20 minutes and the other 10, and the time will be up. But when you don't take all your time, there's 10 minutes left. Instead of just getting out of there early, talk about what the direct wants for the next 3, 6 or 12 months, or talk about that really big project you have coming up and what they thought of that recent project briefing. How did you think it went? Those kinds of things. Or coach them or delegate some work to them. And once you have one-on-ones down, we're going to talk more about coaching and delegation. So we're going to come to that later.
If you don't know how to coach and delegate, that's okay. You're like 95% of the managers in the world that don't. And there are very simple frameworks to learn. And they're available to everybody. One of the reasons that Manager Tools and Career Tools and Executive Tools, all three of our podcasts, focus on behavior and not intentions, not motivations, not attitude, not emotions, not people feelings. We focus on behavior because behavior is available to all and it's measurable. And organizations know that behavior is directly linked to results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, remember back to those annual goals. How many times do managers follow up on their annual goals? Rarely.
No one does.
I mean, worst case scenario, you're like, oh, shoot, we're done our list. We've got a few minutes left. Let me just open up your review for the last year and let me just like look at your development plan. Let me just like take a peek at that. You might think, well, 3, 6, 12 months. I don't have to talk about career planning that often. Okay, cool. But you sure should be following up on your annual goal. That's for certain.
And our data show that 90% of your one-on-ones, you won't have time to talk about the future. We originally taught 15 and 15, and now we teach 10, 10, 10, even though the majority of the time, you won't have time for the 10 minutes of the future, and that's okay. But every once in a while, you will. And as Sarah said, rather than finishing early, go up to 30,000 feet. Let's talk about the next 6 months, next year, or what have you, or performance indicators since your last performance review.
All right. Now, the length overall. We've been talking about this 30-minute duration.
Right.
Now, note, we have found 30 minutes works best overall. Trying to fit a week's worth of discussion into less than 30 minutes is way too hard. 30 minutes is not that long. It's really not. And scheduling 20-minute meetings is kind of a pain in the butt for basically all calendaring systems for a reason. None of us are used to having 20-minute meetings. And if you do achieve it, you'll just end up wasting extra 10 minutes.
Right, before your next meeting.
So yeah, exactly. There's nothing trying to be done. So don't even try. Exactly.
For the record, folks, we tested 15-minute long one-on-ones, 20-minute long one-on-ones, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and an hour. 15 and 20-minute were hated. Couldn't get enough done. It was pinched. Somebody shows up 5 minutes late. It's not a conversation that's going to build trust. But then we thought longer would be better. And so we started testing 40 and 45 and 60 minutes. And what we found was you get no better value in results from retention improvement with 40 or 45 or 60 minutes. But a lot of times a 40 or 45 minute one-on-one ends up ending early. And we discovered people would tell us, I don't like meetings that are scheduled for 45 when there's only 35 minutes worth of stuff. I want meetings to be scheduled tightly. I got enough meetings in my calendar. Well, a lot of managers said, well, I really want a whole hour. Well, what we discovered there is those meetings get pushed around a lot in terms of, well, you're just meeting with one person. Can't you do it in less time? And they become much harder to keep and they're much more likely canceled. The single biggest improvement we have ever gotten every single time we've ever tested duration of one-on-one is 30 minutes. It's not too short and it's not too long. And we can say that because that's what the data says for over 400,000 managers.
Yeah, exactly. Now, folks, know at the beginning of one-on-ones, Mark kind of alluded to this earlier, there's going to be more to talk about. And the first few one-on-ones in are likely going to go long, and you might start to think to yourself, well, dang, 30 minutes is too short. But we encourage you to stick with the 30-minute time frame. Your directs have all sort of stuff at the beginning of one-on-ones that they've been collecting and storing up that they've never known that they're going to have your attention to discuss, and now they do. So they're running through a backlog, essentially, of a bunch of things that are just hanging on to that list because they don't get to talk to you very often. And once you're both used to the way it works and the 30-minute cadence, and they're through their backlog of all these old things they never got to talk about, you're going to be able to reduce your meetings to 30 minutes. So don't extend them and then have to change them back.
As a general rule, any meeting, let's say, in fact, we did a survey several years ago of one-on-ones, and managers told us their directs on average is several thousand managers. I think it's 6,000 managers. Their average length of time the direct talked was 21 minutes, and the average length of time that the manager talked was 15. So the average manager tools one-on-one was going about 36 minutes. You don't ever want to schedule more time than you think you need on average for a meeting. It's better to have a tighter meeting where maybe one or two things that are lower priority don't get talked about, rather than overscheduling all of our meetings when we're all overscheduled with meetings anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that takes us to topics. Now, with this agenda laid out, what do we talk about? All right, well, in their 10 minutes, your direct gets to talk about whatever they want to talk about. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what they get to talk about. Whatever they want to talk about. At conferences, we sometimes say that if your direct wants to talk about puppies and rainbows, they can. It's their 10 minutes. There's no requirement for your direct to talk about work. And if they want to, they're welcome to. But if they don't want to mention work at all, they can also do that. And the reason is because they measure the quality of communication by whether or not the topic is interesting to them. No matter what your opinion is of what's interesting to them, it's their time and they get to talk about whatever they want.
And this is hard for a lot of managers. They think that the manager should set the agenda for everything, but that is not a way to build trust. If you believe that, if you believe you get to set the agenda all the time, then you'll become solely a role power manager. Well, role power is only about 10% of your ability. There are three types of power in your organization. There's role power, there's expertise power, and there's relationship power. Well, according to the statistics, 10% of your job is role power. 10% of your ability to influence others is role power. You can't actually command anyone to do it, but you can certainly visit consequences on them if you command them to do it and they don't do it. Next is expertise. That's about 5%, meaning the remaining 85% of your ability to get things done with your direct reports is based on relationship, and the measurement of that in modern world today is how much they trust you. And by the way, if you're wondering about your trust score, it's really easy. You don't need us to consult to you. All you have to do is ask your people privately to write their number on a scale of 1 to 10, how much they trust you. That's all. That's it. On a scale of 1 to 10. And the average manager is a 3 to 4. The best managers we know are at 8 and 9. And the difference, in most cases, one-on-one. Now, if you do one-on-ones and you're not a truthful person, you're not an ethical person, well, we can't help you there. But we suspect if you're listening to a podcast about how to improve yourself as a manager, yeah, you're an ethical professional and you want to get better. And we can tell you, as the Wall Street Journal quoted me as saying, what, 10, 12 years ago when they did a profile on manager tools because of the popularity of the podcast, when people ask, what should I do if nothing else? Take 2 one-on-ones and call me in the morning. Every manager seems to think that they need a silver bullet for management. Yeah,
they certainly want one.
Yeah, yeah. They think, actually most managers think, if you could just give me something that I could give negative feedback that was not problematic. We'll get to feedback, by the way, folks, in later casts. And we do have a silver bullet for feedback, although it's not what you think. It's not negative feedback. It's positive feedback. But in fact, the silver bullet of management is trusting relationships with your directs. And take it from a forceful, take no prisoners sort of army officer. I led special forces soldiers in combat. I'm a very strong high D in the DISC mentality. I like to make things happen. I'm very impatient. I'm very pushy at times. The single most important thing I ever learned about one-on-ones, and I don't even really like one-on-ones, but I do them because they're the most effective tool I have. Because if you've learned something in your career, you learned that you don't get paid to be comfortable. You don't get paid to be happy. You get paid to be effective. And so effective professionals use tools that make them more effective, delivering results and retention. And one-on-ones are the single most powerful tool we've ever uncovered. And if we find a better one, we'll tell you about it. But after 30 years, we're pretty sure this is the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, to close out their part of it, you should know. All the directs that you've got on your team at any varying time will be subtly different. The majority of the conversation in the majority of your one-on-ones is going to be more work-focused. And don't try and force it. That is, over time, what tends to happen is they get a little bit more personable. They open up a little bit more. But that is they trust you more effect. That is you're a person that they actually like kind of hanging out with effect. Don't push it. It's going to start off more work-focused than people-focused. And it is what it is. We're building trust.
Yeah. Don't try to force it into some agenda.
Exactly.
You do not get to send your agenda to your directs, because if you do that before a one-on-one, they'll just cover your agenda rather than their own. Don't ask them to send you an agenda in advance of what they're going to talk about. You can handle a surprise every once in a while. And there are some things that are going to be personal or they're going to be touchy and they don't want to put it in an email. And so they'd rather just talk to you about it and they want time to prepare. Something else you mentioned about puppies and rainbows. I'm not a puppies and rainbows kind of guy. I think rainbows are just light being refracted through atmospheric vapor. That's just science. I think they're pretty, but I think they're really just science. And Isaac Newton would be proud. And I'm not a huge fan of puppies. I think they're cute in somebody else's house. But here's the thing about one-on-ones. I may not like puppies and rainbows, but if you're my direct and you want to talk about puppies and rainbows, I may not care about those things, but I darn sure care about you. And so I'm going to listen because you're important to me. And I'm not talking about role power. I'm talking about you're important to me because you're another human being. You're a colleague of mine in our organization. And it behooves me to build a trusting, caring relationship with you. Yes, I have an obligation to hold you accountable for things when you don't do them. But that's one of the ways I show I care. There's an old saying that the difference between somebody who's nice and somebody who's kind is the nice person sees you with spinach in your teeth and doesn't want to say anything because it's going to hurt your feelings. The kind person actually will say something to you because they would prefer that you would tell them if they had a spinach in their teeth. So I may not care about puppies and rainbows, but because I care about you, I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to take notes, as we'll learn later. Why? Because I care about you. And so therefore, I care about the things that you care about as well. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it. Okay. So that covers their time. That's
right.
Their 10 minutes, let's call it. In your 10 minutes, you get to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Now, we know you. You're probably going to want to talk about work.
Yeah.
And that's fine, right? Where your direct is with Project X, how they resolved a problem with customer Y, when will they have an update to solution Z. If you want to talk about personal things, you totally can. whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah.
That's what you get to talk about.
And our data says 79% of direct's time, we have videotape, thousands of hours of videotape of one-on-ones between managers and directs. We got their permission.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that's not
just
creepy.
So you know, yeah, a little creepy there. 79% of direct's time in one-on-ones is spent talking about work. 86% of managers' time is talking about work. So yeah, you're going to end up talking about work because that's the thing that connects you. Some of you might be a little bit worried that you're going to run out of stuff. Sarah alluded to this earlier, that in the beginning, your one-on-ones are going to run long. The average manager, when we're training them on one-on-ones in their company or one of our many public conferences all over the world, they say, oh, my people aren't going to have anything to say to me. That is not the problem, folks. Our data show the problem is not going to be that your directs don't want to talk to you. You're thinking it's only going to be 15 minutes. They're going to cross their arms and say, I got nothing. I don't know. And to be fair, that may be true because they've had a string of bad bosses.
Yeah.
Who told them they wanted to build good relationships and then didn't do anything. And they realized, I can't trust bosses. Or they had one bad boss and that was all they needed to resist and to lean back and to say, no, thank you. In fact, what I think we determined it's 6 times more likely that your beginning one-on-ones will go long rather than go short. The problem is not they talk too little. The problem is they talk too much, which again, completely eviscerates the argument that managers make, oh, we talk all the time. We don't have anything to talk about.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Which takes us to then the final 10 minutes. And if there's time, as we mentioned earlier, you can talk about the future. It's time for coaching and career planning, the things that many of us say we don't have time for. We have time for at the end of this meeting, should we get out of there early? Which takes us to, if the one-on-ones go long for a few weeks in a row, look for one topic cause. That is, normally there's a thing, maybe it's a project that y'all are working on that's taking up a large chunk of that one-on-one. And simply carve it out. Schedule a separate meeting for a project update on that particularly difficult project, or schedule time to get to the heart of that other problem with the customer so that you don't keep going round and round and adding this big topic to what is your one-on-one agenda.
Or potentially causing them to talk only about that.
Yeah.
And nothing else. And so you don't get a wider view of your directs.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you again for joining us. Join us next time as we finish our guidance on one-on-ones updated.